All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, well, well. Wrapping up January, talking about a perfect month. Now, if you've never been to Oilers Nation HQ, and I don't blame you if you haven't, outside this door, there's a whiteboard with the entire schedule written on it. We do it every month. And when I walked in yesterday, it was nice to see nothing but dubs on that whiteboard. Nothing but dubs. 16 in a row, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
16 in a row.
I never
24 of their last 27 wins.
I never thought the day would come. 16 in a row. Now, that is kind of nuts, isn't it?
Just as good as the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Almost.
Did they win the cup that year?
Yep.
Perfect.
I would like to first acknowledge, before we get into the delicious bait for our friends at Wendy's, the fact that both Rick and I said with 100% confidence that the Oilers would make the playoffs this year. Thoughts?
I mean, sure.
I think if we go back in the tapes.
There were some that were under 70 at the time.
I think Liam was at 60 was the low
so
mark.
So was I. It was at the time.
Upper 60s. If you say...
I've never heard a more dark Rick than the middle of December.
We were talking off the ledge.
Oh, yeah. No, it was not. Yeah, I don't know if it was on mic, so I don't know if everybody heard that, but there were a couple of tough times just outside that door, I believe.
It was just one episode, Rick.
On mic that I was a lot darker than normal, but...
one episode, and it was like, I think it was like our 13th or 14th loss there, where you were just like...
I got it.
Bob Germany.
Aha, uh-huh, classic Bob.
You were just...
Bob Germany called.
You let it seep in, but then the next episode, you were right back again.
Not 13 or 14 losses.
Well, it was like game 13 or 14
probably
of the
right
season.
Around that San Jose one, I think. Because I think San Jose was the last one, and then we went on Seattle, no?
Yeah, that
would be right around there. But it's frustrating. Like, you couldn't put your finger on one thing. Like, there was mistakes at every end of the ice by every group of players out there. And we had just incredibly bad luck, too, where if a puck bounced off a defenseman, it landed right on the forward stick, and it didn't matter how fast Stu came across, that puck went in the net somehow. So it was just incredibly frustrating. It felt like there was no way to that hole. But I had to make sure I asterisked every time. This is not me jumping off the bandwagon. However, this is probably the lowest I've been in since about the summer of 06.
Mark Spector ran out of questions to ask in the middle of that streak.
It was bad, but I will say, going through that and now seeing where they are, it seems to have kind of brought the team really close together. Like, if you remember a week ago or whatever, Derek Ryan said in his media scrum that, you know, the media was really hard on Ryan McLeod, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, you know, now he's really enjoying kind of proving you guys wrong and making you guys regret saying all that. And Connor McDavid said, I think his quote was, there was a lot of mean things said about this group, which was very hilarious for him to say that, because I was like, Connor, there was a point you guys were 30th in the league and you lost to San Jose. Like, some mean stuff had to be said about you. It was earned. But the way he just kind of said he's proud of the way the guys in the room have responded and always kind of held a strong belief within that room, I think that's kind of cool. And I think, you know, the obvious comparison is the 2018 St. Louis Blues, right? Remember when they made that deal, brought in Edmondson, I think it was, and then he was fighting in practice and they had all that shit going on. But then when they turned it around and they had their Gloria thing, and it, like, the shitty times brought them closer together.
Where did they finish in the, where did they clinch?
What year was that?
2017-18.
Yeah. Where did they finish in that 1-8? Cause they, yeah, they were what, last place by the flip of the calendar.
So next year.
And then they end up winning the cup. But the where do they,
Liam? No, this is the right year.
2017. No, you're one.
Isn't that what you said?
17-18. The year they win the
cup. Summer of 2018. No, was last the year cup. That
they won. Oh, yeah. Washington.
Sorry, they won. Yeah, they, yeah, you're right, Liam. Sorry. 16-17.
Unbelievable.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Everybody apologize
no
to Liam.
There's no trust.
One, you need to apologize to Rick year. And I for our 100% vote on the playoffs. Thank you.
They finished fifth in the, fifth in the conference. Western Conference.
Yeah. So the Oilers, well, I mean, they're on track to beat that quite nicely. Right? Like, there's. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, there's some people are going to say you can't win, keep winning like the 16. But what's more impressive is the 24-27. Like, that's insane.
It's an, just
it's an extra 11. You know, like, it's I enjoy that stat more than I enjoy the 16-0. The 16-0 is cool because it could very well become a part of history. But if that wasn't like if that wasn't a historic moment. I think the 24-27 is the big thing here. And when you have 27 games, I think that's a decent enough sample size to assume that is
it's a 30 year season.
That's the team you that is the team.
I got the year wrong. But so did Tyler.
I tried telling you.
Which year was it?
It was 2019.
Yes.
Where did they finish that?
Third 2004.
They finished third in their division.
There was probably a couple people listening to the last 90 seconds of this.
Like, what is happening?
Screaming at the radio.
I love that. Or, you know what? If you were yelling at the radio, I want to hear from you. ON Radio Podcast.
Did you?
You can even screen grab that little clip of us all fucking it up and just throw it right back in our faces.
I'm definitely the person that used to do that when they still had this thing on the old radio in my vehicle. I would definitely, like, when you were on low tide and stuff, I respond to everything. I don't know what I'm doing, but
yeah, that's kind of half the fun of these kind of things, right? Is talking back to the co-host or to the host.
Yeah, I get it. We're in your ears. We're living in your heads right now. What's going on in your heads? Is it correct?
In your head.
Yeah, little zombie by the Cranberries from Liam. Welcome to.
Are you sure that was Liam? I blinked for a second. I thought I was listening to the Cranberries.
Zombie.
Gonna get the podcast started with a shout out to our friends at Wendy's. It is time for you to insert a bacon portobello mushroom melt in your mouth. That's just what I'm telling you to do.
Okay.
You go to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com and register a team to play the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor game. You could have a chance to win one. But in the interim, you got to eat at some point. Bacon portobello mushroom melt in your mouth. Quick mosh. If you can loop it in with DoorDash later, plug in the podcast, and all of a sudden we're really got some synergy going. In the meantime, go to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. I was out again yesterday, gentlemen. There was one game and I lost.
Did they give 10 options for one game?
No. I thought it started tonight.
Tyler, I'm doing an ad read. You're supposed to say yes and.
Yes and. Sorry, you really confused me because I was like, wait, did I make still, picks last night?
Can I still play?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm this doing an ad read.
Ad read is verbatim, by the way.
Oh, my Lord. The improv skills of my podcast co-host during an ad read.
Rick, anyway. It's like they're already in Toronto.
It's like they're already checked out.
Kind of.
Hey, come play today.
DailyFaceOffSurvivor.com, register a team. It's harder than you think. That's moly. The point. That's the point. What?
It's 8 days.
This is an 8-legger on the Wendy's game.
Listen, if you make it to 8 days, Tyler will personally buy you a bacon portobello mushroom melt.
Yeah, I might actually.
If you got to make it to the 8th day, though. If you do not make it there, no burger for you.
Jeez.
Tyler, what do you got for us today for a daily debate for our friends at Wendy's and the Daily Face-Off Survivor game?
I got it. It's inspired by our good friend Jay Downton, who we all know and love, who yesterday on the Real Life podcast said his dream. He said the silver bullet for who the Oilers could get at the deadline.
Are you guys ready? Like, come prepare.
Silver bullet.
You know who it is? It's the silver bullet.
I remember an old ad campaign from a brewery that makes sense on here. Yeah.
It's upon time. But this is a different silver bullet.
There's also a bar on the south side.
Listen, if Jay executes this plan, I think it very well could be the silver bullet. Now, executing the plan could be difficult.
Oh boy, here we go.
Say the least.
Jay thinks
this is going to be an NHL. This is going to be an NHL 2024 type of trade.
Listen, if we can figure this out, I legitimately think that the Oilers are going to run it through. Oh, no man. Problem. But okay. We need to get the details sorted.
The deadline target Jay has circled. He's written it on the whiteboard in his office so he can manifest every day.
Yep.
Is Sidney Crosby.
Have you heard of him?
Oh, come on. You're not serious.
That
fixes our third line problem.
30 minutes on Sidney Crosby yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We did trip half the podcast on this. So Jay says Crosby's got a year and a half left in his deal.
Yep.
Sure.
And he's going to go to Pittsburgh and say, I'm not interested in a rebuild.
Sure.
And they're going to say, okay, we'll set you free. Go play with Connor. Win a ring. And then come back. We'll re-sign you. We'll stockpile picks. We'll rebuild the roster.
Come here for a year and a half.
Yeah, go to Edmonton for a year and a half. We'll take the assets. You'll help the franchise, Sid. You can go win, and then you can re-sign here when you're 38.
Please explain to me what are these assets?
Well, this is where we get
trapped. Oh, so this was the best part too, because I get Sidney Crosby. You do whatever it takes, right? So I told Jay 3 first-round picks. They take Campbell.
Okay.
But we also have to throw in Holloway. And Jay goes, you don't throw in Holloway.
3 first.
So take on Sidney Crosby for none of the cost.
The silver bullet is correct.
Is Crosby's contract, though?
8.7. You know
eight,
it is.
Eight seven, right?
Straight so Playboy.
Is that what Campbell? No, what's Holloway? Like 775 still? He's still on ELC, right? Yep. So
the money doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. None of this makes sense.
Get your details out of it.
It's a silver bullet.
We might have to throw in Fogle.
It doesn't have to make sense.
I can't throw in Fogle.
It doesn't make any sense. It's such a weird conversation to even have.
Well, so the delicious debate today is, who is your, with a tinge more realistic?
Well, now it's Sidney Crosby. I don't know.
Who's your dream deadline target?
What I'm just going to say is anything less than Sidney Crosby, no good for me.
Yeah.
Ovechkin available? I don't know.
I'm maxed out at Sid.
But seriously, I would go after defensive depth. I'm just looking even at a guy like Nick Seeler.
Sidney Crosby could play defense if we really needed him.
If you can't probably get right Sidney Crosby to come play defense for you, I would get Ilya Labushkin or a Nick Seeler out of Philadelphia. Just some defensive depth, some guys that I could slot into the lineup and
who
is play.
Who's the Sealer and who?
Labushkin out of Anaheim.
Remember when he blew up Dylan Holloway and after Warren Fogle passed suicide pass to him on the boards when they played Buffalo last season?
Yep. Good folks had to come in and fight.
I just think an NHL name. Just somebody that can fill that position if and when we have an eventual injury to the defensive.
So you're not even dreaming that high. You're not asking for like a Tanev or whatever.
I'm happy right now. I think that right now my worry is that if you're looking at a guy like a Tanev or any other kind of defensive help, you're then having to subtract from the lineup. And I don't want to do that right now.
Makes sense.
Liam, what do you got? Who's your dream trade target if we can't have Sid? Malkin, you can't have him either, probably.
Carlson retained again.
Is Cale Makar available?
Cale Makar could be available.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So the Philadelphia Flyers have lost 5 games in a row.
Stinky.
Obviously, the Carter Hart situation is not going to help them by any means.
Nope.
I quickly think they're going to start dropping like flies here and lose a few more. So I'm going to go with Travis Konecny as dream
what
target.
What is he at? He's close to 6, is he not?
5.5 for 2 more years with no trade protection.
More
This year and next year.
This year and next year.
So making that work.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's not going to be easy. 5.5. Well, just have no space.
Did see a tweet the other day, though, that they could work their way up to having enough deadline cap space to fit in like a $3 million deal or something like that.
Well, that's going to be interesting. So we're going to get to that in a second. Our original Posar slid into the old DMs with some cap information on the hallway. We'll get to that in a sec. But
right.
Konecny, I like the idea. I love the idea of another skilled forward.
Yeah. A guy is a lot of like he can be a dick as well, right? Like he's kind of a unique player.
We need more rats.
A little dickish.
A little dicky.
New song's not that great.
TM.
New album has there's a couple of good songs in the album.
So right now the Oilers have 2 million in cap space. You said they could get up to 3 million, original Puza told us. I also have this theory where they could just send down like Matthias Janmark and there's another million.
Could send him down lower than Bakersfield.
Why is everyone trying to get rid of him?
They should send Janmark to Guantanamo Bay.
Jesus.
He's got to go to prison now?
Why is everyone trying to get rid of Janmark? What is he doing out there that's upsetting everybody?
Not scoring.
Well, then why don't we get
rid of him? He's not getting scored on. He's secure at the puck. Kills penalties.
But
it's cheap.
But if you want to get Travis Konechny, I'm willing to sacrifice it. Matthias Janmark.
$1 million.
To trade him. To send him to Bakersfield for the year.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year. Then you call him off the playoffs. No,
I won't understand. Well, no, because it's not just this right here. But even like when it came time to getting Corey Perry in here, people were trying to say get rid of Janmark, and I just never understood it.
Yeah.
Well, who would you get rid of then at bottom six?
If you get the chance to get Travis Konechny, perennial 20 goal scorer,
who comes off the roster?
Yep.
You're probably going to bump out a guy like Derek Ryan.
But I'm saying you can
the Storm and Mormon.
You can send down. Sure, you can send down Derek Ryan too, but I'm just saying you get $100,000 more in cap space to bring in a Konechny or whoever it may be for a guy who has one goal this season compared to Derek Ryan, who I think has 3 or 4 goals this season. Like the margins are small, of course, but
he's not really out there to be scoring goals for you.
But do you need him to contribute on the offensive side of things too?
I think that's probably not helping with the narrative.
He hasn't given up a goal against in quite some time.
I don't think he's bad. I just want Travis Konechny, and Matthias Janmark isn't as good as Travis Konechny.
I think if you're heading at the deadline and there is a team willing like give you a forward and you're going, okay, we need to shave some money, losing the million of Janmark saves you more than losing the 775 of whoever.
Hang on.
Connor Brown or whatever.
Let me check that. Yep.
Math adds up.
Then you would only have to ask Philly to retain $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Tyler Ramchuk, who's on your list? Dream deadline acquisitions if we can't have Sidney Crosby.
Former Calgary Flame, former Montreal Canadian, former LA King. Tyler Toffoli is my dream.
Mike Camilleri.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, nice.
And really he eventually became an Oiler.
That's true.
Yeah. So let's see it all come full circle with Tyler Toffoli. Follow the Mike Camilleri career arc. He scores goals in the playoffs. He is a legit top six winger. He plays with a bit of that sandpaper that I think you'd like to add in. I think he'd be a perfect, perfect fit in the top six. It's a pie in the sky target because the Devils presumably aren't going to sell yet. But if you can get him, that's the guy. Is that not the perfect right winger to put next to Leon Draisaitl?
Ideally, but I think that, I mean, I like the idea of Konechny more just because he's got term.
Yeah, and I think I would agree with that. But if the cost to get Konechny is a first and Borgo, and the cost to get Toffoli is just the first, is that worth it?
Yeah,
no. Nope, totally although second year Konechny, yeah, you're right. No, maybe
second year Konechny, you get another 20 goal guy on the roster just there.
And plus two, he's 26. Konechny.
Yeah, and you could all when the cap starts going up, you could always re-sign him. You never know how things are going to play out. So yeah, you know what? You're right. I think Konechny's better. I don't know. I feel like there's a chance Toffoli shakes loose. I feel like Philly wants to sign Konechny.
I wouldn't disagree.
I don't know why Philly would want to get rid of him, but I also think that if they're going in the shitter,
but also
things have happened.
We kind of said last year and said the same thing about Nashville. Why would they want to get rid of Ekholm? They just re-signed him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just think it's kind of the NHL is becoming weird. I think more and more players are becoming available that we wouldn't expect.
Well, a lot of teams are having weird years too. Like I'm looking at the Devils now. They are currently 6 points out of a wild card spot with 2 games at hand. So they could fall out. Heavy lies the crown of expectations in New Jersey. A lot of people had them as like going way further than not a wild card spot.
Sleepy cup contender kind of thing, right? And they can't stay healthy. Dougie Hamilton's like done for the year. Jack Hughes has been in and out of the lineup all season. I think they missed Heeshire for a stretch as well. So that's kind of why I feel like.
Do you think he should go to Douglas instead of Dougie?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Douglas Murray wasn't hurt very often.
Yep, that's all I'm saying.
There's a dog.
You know?
Right now, their average age of their blue line is just shy of 25. You add Dougie Hamilton in there, who's 30 now. Brings it up a little bit, but like, pretty young blue line to think they could go win the cup.
Rick, if you can't have Sidney Crosby, who's your ideal, either a person or just a specific?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't do the homework. So, but I'm looking at, I think the best bet to make this team a little bit better is somehow upping the Cody Ceci spot. And it's nothing against Cody Ceci, but I just think if you can find a way to find a right-handed Ekholm to bring in for that.
Like the ideal for me, I would love to have him, but there's no way it happens. Like that name is Brett Pesce.
Yeah.
I would love him, but there's no way the Hurricanes would get rid
of him. Yeah. Like you need to go find that right-handed shot that can play those minutes, that can play that competition. Maybe a bit of a better puck mover.
Would anybody have any interest in a slightly used Chris Tanev?
I have an issue with dealing with that team. So
agreed.
As GM, I wouldn't be able to do it, but someone else could.
Chris Tanev would do a lot in the playoffs though, just provided that he's healthy enough to play.
I brought this, your assistant deal with the GM for you.
I brought this up to Frank and I think I'm going to stand by it, even though Frank pushed back on the idea to me. But to me, if the Oilers are offering a good prospect and a first round pick for Lindholm, or if they're offering a second round pick and a prospect for Tanev, the Flames are going to get those offers from other teams. And I just feel like Calgary will sit there and go, you know what? No, Edmonton, you need to overpay if you want us to help you. And the Flames internally are probably sitting there going, hey, we can get market value from insert Eastern Conference team or insert Central Division team. Why do we want to take on the bad PR of watching a player we traded them and go on a playoff run with them, right? Like, is that dumb? I don't know if that's dumb, but I could see them. You know, remember what was the year the Oilers wanted Corey Schneider from Vancouver?
Yeah, they wanted fucking Klefbom and Nurse.
And all they ended up getting was eighth overall from
Bo Horvat.
No, I was sitting on the exact same thing, just going, it takes me right back to that exact same scenario.
Deal worked out great for Vancouver because they got Bo Horvat, but
it worked out great for us too by not doing it.
By not doing it, 100%. But the idea that trading within the division, I still think there are GMs out there, and you know, maybe the fact that Calgary's already dealt a player to Vancouver, but that was different. Zadorov wanted out and all of that stuff, and they just wanted to get rid of the distraction as fast as they could.
Lucic for Neil. That was not long ago.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. But that again was problem for a problem. Like not the same of like, all right, we're trading you Tanev or Lindholm, and like enjoy the nice long playoff run, guys.
Yeah, this is just
because that is another name that the Oilers have been tied to at least loosely is Elias Lindholm.
I don't see that.
I don't see it either.
What don't you see?
I'm just reporting the facts. I don't think that they need Elias Lindholm currently.
I think
it'd be nice to have.
I think it'd be very interesting.
But like, where are you going to put him, I guess?
What if you could go and turn Cody Ceci into Adam Larson out of Seattle?
3 years ago, probably. Today, probably not. It's the same kind of thing I was thinking about when it came to Parayko out of St. Louis. A couple years ago,
Parayko's got a little bit better, I think.
Probably not.
Larson's only $500,000 more than Ceci, same term.
Also,
there's the human side. There's of the human side. Too,
yeah, right? It has to be whether or not he wants down, to.
Maybe some times passed, right? Like we all know his dad dying when he was here and all that. Klefbom wanted, or Larson wanted a fresh start. Maybe it's been a couple of years and he goes, man, I love the guys in that room. Like, I'm game. Like, I'm ready to try this again. I want to win a Stanley Cup and I'd love to do it in Edmonton. Like, I actually don't hate that suggestion at all from Dan. I do think Larson's better than Ceci. So, and he's familiar here. It's like part of my thing when people are like, trade Ceci and get Sean Walker. I'm like, Ceci, we know.
Yeah, I'm not,
you can argue they're not a great pairing, but like, we know what we got there. It's the devil you know.
Yeah.
What if you bring in Sean Walker and him and Nurse don't click?
Yep.
Then what? Are you throwing Vinny up there with Nurse for the playoffs? Like, there's risk there, right?
Yep.
Versus with Larson, there's maybe a bit more of an element of like, ooh, we know he fits in here. We know the guys know him and like him, and we know what he's like on the ice. Maybe that isn't, I like it though.
Why don't you think Lindholm would fit?
So are you going to go with the route of you can go nuclear forever if you upgrade your second line?
Yeah.
I see it.
I understand that angle. I do. But I still think the team is better when those two are separated.
I don't disagree, but
you're putting Lindholm in the second line center?
I would put Lindholm on the second line center, move Nuge to the left wing with Lindholm and Fogel. Then I would bump McLeod down to my fourth line center and have Kane on my third line with McLeod and Perry and then whatever it is, Holloway, Brown, and me, whoever you want to put out there.
Lindholm expiring contract, $4.85 million. Currently with the Flames, he has 9 goals, 23 assists, 32 points, 49 games. I
don't mind.
I like the idea of Lindholm. I just, I, I really don't want them. Like, the nuclear deterrent is fun when you touch the button sometimes.
I also think Lindholm is the premium player on the market. I think some team is going to blow Calgary's doors off. And again, Edmonton's going to have to outbid that.
You're
so like
pay the Edmonton tax.
So like some other team is probably going to offer their best prospect in a first round pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like Claude Giroux style return, where I know Tippett maybe wasn't their best prospect, but was like a good young player with some pedigree and the first rounder. Like what if Calgary is like, no, it's Holloway in the first, or you're not getting them. Then, like,
yeah, maybe.
I just don't think you can touch
even the phone.
Even Monahan to an extent. I think the market's starting to balloon for Monahan, and Frank thinks he might get a first round pick. Okay, if you're sitting there going, we can give up the first round pick for Monahan, or we can give up a second and then a fourth to a third party broker and get Adam Henrique. Give me Adam Henrique.
Are they both
the Giroux trade?
Yeah,
was traded from the Flyers with German Rupsov.
Yes.
Classic
Rupsov. Connor Bunananam.
Mm-hmm.
And a fifth round pick in the 2024 draft to the Florida Panthers for Owen Tippett. Third round pick in the 2023 draft and a conditional first round pick in 2024.
And I think it's important to remember Claude Giroux told the Flyers, I'm only going there.
Mm.
And that's still the return they got. Lindholm is the premium piece on the market. Doesn't have that same kind of protection or, from what we've heard, those same desires where he wants to pick and choose his spot. He just wants to win. So I don't know. I'm starting to think with the way when you look at the players on Frank's trade targets list, I'm starting to think that some of the check down options are actually the better pieces compared to what's out there. Like I changed my mind for a Toffoli, but he's not on Frank's list. When you sit and look at Frank's list, it's like, okay, Lindholm's expensive and Tanev might be expensive and Monahan might be expensive. Maybe you're better off just saying, hey, Sean Walker is going to be a third pairing guy for us, not even a CC upgrade. He's going to be a third pairing guy for us, and we like Henrique, and we'll make the money work, and like that's our deadline. Maybe they just won't make a huge splash.
Here's an interesting point. So I'm at dailyfaceoff.com in the trade targets article. When it comes to Lindholm, Frank says, and I quote, even in a disappointing year, Lindholm represents an extraordinary opportunity for the Flames to harvest significant assets, which they can then use as trade chips to reconfigure or just use as rebuilds. His low salary cap hit only adds to the reasoning of why he could be the number one most valuable player on the market at the deadline.
Yeah. And hey, maybe with this winning streak and all that, like how many, it's a tale as old as time. A team goes, loads up at the deadline and gets bounced early, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Boston do last year? Orlov, Bertuzzi. I feel like there was another.
Even just like you think of Toronto last year. I mean, they made it to the second round, but they did the same thing. Ryan O'Reilly, they had Nick Foligno. Or was that 2 years ago? Either way, they spent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me who sits there as much as I really want the Oilers to go all in. There's another side of me that's like, you know, playoffs are kind of a crapshoot in the NHL. Just all about playing good hockey.
I want them to add. I don't want Jared Smithson.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. But well, that's like, why I'm going with the checkdowns, right?
Yeah, that's why I agree with you that I don't know that.
But the checkdowns are also a little cheaper too, right? Because you kind of need a couple. You kind of need a couple of your guys from the AHL to make that step next year. And I think there's probably two guys that I'm thinking about in Broberg and Lavoie that I'm really hoping are part of the team this next year. But other than that, I think the majority of your players then are available.
Any other names or positions we could look at as potential trade targets for the Edmonton Oilers leading into the deadline? That's on March 8th.
Marc-Andre Fleury. Should they get him or should they not get him?
We talked about that in the mailbag.
No.
Frank talked about it on Owen Every Day today too.
What did he say? Because I just like, to me, the money doesn't work. I like the idea of Marc-Andre Fleury more than I actually like Marc-Andre Fleury.
I would just like to see him in an Oilers jersey. But
there's
I don't
a
think
lot of stuff to like. One of the winningest goalies of all time. He's a cup champ. He's a Hall of Famer. All that shit you like. But then there's, you know, you got to make it fit the cap wise. What's the cost?
We're already going down a path.
And Stu's already the guy.
Yeah. Stu's your guy. Stu's going to be your guy for the foreseeable future. I'm not bringing a guy to take his minutes. Or you're riding with Stu right now.
I like the idea of it.
You need the league's best backup is what you're trying to look at.
I already have him.
And then
Big Cal.
Then you're good.
Frank basically said Fleury, if he's going to go somewhere and if he's going to like, you know, leave his family for 3 months to chase another cup, he wants to go somewhere where he can play, where he's not just going to sit on the bench. And I kind of hear that and I go, Edmonton, Stuart Skinner, lights out. You're going to go as far as Skinner carries you in the playoffs. As much as I'd love some insurance, like I don't know, man. Calvin Pickard's got a 915 save percentage right now.
I'm not against that. I mean, the other guy down the Bakersfield, I don't want to bring it up right now, but he's been looking pretty good in the last whatever too. So
Olivier Rodrigue, I agree.
Yeah. I think your goaltending situation is taken care of. So I'm kind of a Tyler guy. I see like a chuck down type of addition
to me
more than anybody huge.
I think Fleury's going to Vegas. Myself, I think Vegas is just gonna.
They have two goalies.
I know, but I just I've got a feeling of a storyline coming from Vegas.
Maybe we'll see. If someone got hurt. I think
deadline
he's going to Toronto.
Is fast approaching.
I think he might stay.
I can see him going to Toronto.
Yeah. I can see him playing there, right?
Bradford Living loves to overspend on things, so I could see that.
Or Carolina.
I'm going to read this next portion verbatim.
All right.
Fine.
Just want you to know that. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code NATION25. Don't forget, that's promo code NATION25 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms do apply. I said this story on Real Life yesterday. That on Friday, Rick, you would have been very happy with me. I got myself the double dash.
Continue.
Got myself a Donair. That was leg one.
Like it.
Leg two.
Donair, Donair combo.
I got Donair and fries.
I'm always an onion ring guy, but hey.
I don't particularly. So the spot that I get, I'm not a real big fan of their onion rings.
Hey, as long as you've tried them, that's, I have to try them first. If I like them, cool. Or keep rolling.
Big onion, no problem. They don't travel well either. You know, that's not DoorDash's fault.
No.
Onion ring execution's fault.
Yeah, big onion ring. Got to figure that out by now.
Got it. So I had my Donair. Second leg was a McFlurry.
Nice.
It's just a fantastic little Friday night, courtesy of our friends at DoorDash. I'm going to look back, gentlemen. We can go back over the whole month. Perfect month, if you remember. Or just the last game against Nashville. For our friends at DoorDash, I want to know who delivered for you. Going to start down at the end of the line. Mr. Nation Dan, you were up first. For our friends at DoorDash, who delivered for you?
Through the entire streak, it's been the goalies for me. Start of the season, we had holes and issues that we couldn't answer. Nobody could answer. And it all kind of just came back to the goaltending. We still see some of the defensive gaffes, some of the issues, especially in these last few games, letting the bad teams kind of dictate play for stretches. And goaltending has been stellar. So for me, it's the goalies.
Mr. Liam Harbin, you are up next for our friends at DoorDash. Who delivered for you?
Who delivered for me? Is let me just do a little backtracking here. I thought Dan was going to take a little bit longer with his answer. That's okay.
Drag it a little more if you'd like.
My person who delivered is Warren Fogel, tied for on the team for the most 5-on-5 points of Connor McDavid. So Mr. Fogel gets my who delivered of the month of January.
Ding dong.
What a crazy transition that guy's had from being a cap dump that I think everybody as a fan was just kind of penciling him in as the next guy out to be able to fit some more cap space in to unremovable from this roster.
Dead in there.
Yeah. Now the biggest question I have with Warren Fogel is just like, cause I agree. Don't want to move him. Like probably played himself off this team though with his current run.
Probably.
He's going to chase the bag a little bit.
Listen, there's players out there who, when they're on a cup contending team, they know that if they want to stick there, they got to maybe get a couple of years and a little less dollars out of it.
We'll see. I'm waiting for it to happen.
He definitely has a connection with a couple of players in the team, right? So
yeah.
And they ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
Mr. Tyler Yaremchuk for our friends at DoorDash. Who delivered for you?
I'll go with Ryan McLeod. Similar vein to what Liam said, but like a brutal start to the season. I was one of the people who was hard on him.
Liam tried to run him out of town more than once.
I traded him to Montreal.
I called him Fast Zamboni.
Yep.
They didn't want him.
When Derek Ryan says people said mean things, there's a handful of us in this room, myself probably near the top of the list, who said some mean things.
So DR has been listening to us? Is what you're trying to say?
Maybe.
Well, listen, we've got his biggest cheerleader on staff. Like, who knows?
Mm-hmm. But Ryan McLeod, this turnaround, him playing as confident as he is, and for a winning streak to hit 16, you're going to need a bunch of different heroes. But when you look at the Calgary game and him scoring that goal that he did, that was unreal. Think about the Toronto game, man. They were losing until he set up Derek Ryan and then he scored the goal. With, I know the screen by McDavid was awesome, but still, like, Ryan McLeod's playing confident. He's contributing in so many different ways. And it's great to see him finding his footing again.
scored that beauty against Calgary too.
Yeah, that was so sick.
Rick, our friends at DoorDash.
Well, for the entire month, you saw it to the whole team, because I don't think there's an aspect of this team that's not really dragging their own weight. But I'm going to go more about the last game and his first game played with an Oiler, because I liked what I saw out of Corey Perry. I think that first shift, was he was funny. Getting knocked into the crease there, knocking the net off, finished off with two shots, two hits, over 12 minutes of ice time, hadn't played in 2 months, had that incredible drop pass back to Holloway there in front of the net. Easily could have been a goal. Had some opportunities around the net. Pretty much exactly what you wanted. And that was just game one for a guy that still doesn't know his line mate. So once they get going here, I think that line's going to be, it's going to bring a lot of trouble for people.
I did have a good chuckle. It was probably shift one or shift two. There's already a scrum in front of the net and he's right in the middle. I go, yep, there he is.
Yeah, this is the first shift. They knock him down, knock the net off. And I know, like, a guy like Holloway, he's going to absolutely love playing with him.
And I think it's gonna force
McLeod to
you're gonna have to get in the mix whether he wants greasy.
It's gonna, yeah, he's gonna get some calluses out of this.
Everybody, I think
it's
in great. The pile.
I think it's gonna be hilarious.
Just like when you're trying to get a cab in Winnipeg.
Good luck. Hope you don't have any more than all for three one. Friends with you.
All for one.
There's five of you, you're screwed.
Better start walking.
Mm-hmm.
Or order a second one. And one friend goes by himself. For DoorDash, I just, how can you not look at the season that Zach Hyman is having and just want to give him all the love in the world? I mean, he's got 30 goals through 44 games already.
The NHL does that.
That is, well, that's because, as Gregor calls it, the all good game.
Yes. It's a joke.
Mostly good game.
The mostly good game. I just think that Zach Hyman, he's on pace for 55 goals on what is supposed to be, according to editor and Leaf, the worst contract in NHL history. And he's getting better. His career high in goals is 36. He did that in 79 games a year ago. He's going to fly by that. And I just love watching him play. There was a meme, and I wish I could give credit to the proper person that made it, where it was a passing of baton of like a folk hero in the city from Ryan Smith to Zach Hyman. It's just, that's the kind of player where this city loves, man. He works hard. He can score some goals. He'll take one off the face to get a goal if he needs to.
Overly nice off the ice.
Overly nice. He writes like books. He's an author.
Stuff. Like, guys,
come on.
Calm down a bit here. I hope he has a couple speeding tickets or something like that to make us look at the rest of us.
Yeah. But like bad ones.
Yeah.
You know? Like 40 over. Not quite a court date, but almost.
Yeah.
Walking the line.
You know?
Boy, you can tell the Oilers are playing good and we're in all-star break. This is the most mellow podcast we've had ever.
You want me to enjoy this?
Yeah, we're great. We're chilling. We're throwing out trade ideas. Sorry, Liam, I kicked the table.
Don't do that.
Oh, look at this. Fight. 24 out of 27, man. Spicy. This team is something else.
How much credit do you think that Chris Knobloch deserves for the run?
None of it.
All of it.
He deserves some.
I don't know how to quantify it, but he definitely deserves some. So does Paul Coffey.
Yeah, and Mark Stewart.
Yeah,
for the PK. One. The PK has been absolutely shut him up level for this entire streak.
And the funny thing is that was like when they went and said, okay, listen, we're only gonna do three pairs of wingers and two pair of D, and you 10 guys are in charge of killing all these pot. Like, this is your guys' thing. Get out there, own it, and do something with it. And they've been phenomenal. They've been the first in the league since Garlic got here. No,
in random thoughts today at OilersNation.com, I wrote about the PK, and during the 2017-18 season, think back, boys, been a minute. The Oilers had, up till this point in the season, a 55.5% penalty kill at home.
That's good, right?
In half terms of being bad, it doesn't get much worse than that.
Half the time you get scored on.
So to have it, yeah, it's a coin flip. So to have it now, where we're at, is truly amazing. And I want to give Bruce McCurdy from the Journal a little bit of love, because I used a portion of his article for mine. And the part that stuck out the most to me was he said, the cold, hard fact of the matter about the Oilers PK is that the Oilers gave up more power play goals in Woodcroft's last stand, talking about the 13 games he coached, than they have in all 26 or all of Knobloch's games, I should say, despite the fact that the latter has a 2.5 times larger sample size in terms of games played and a 2 times larger sample size in terms of overall penalties. When shorthanded goals are folded into the mix, the Oilers were -7 in 32 games under Knobloch Stewart compared to -15 in only 13 games under Woodcroft and Manson. Not blaming Manson and Woody, but there's without question the PK has shot the moon and it's pretty impressive to watch.
Kind of reminds me of when Woodcroft first took over and we got that weird bump in bottom six scoring.
Yeah.
And Derek Ryan said something about how like, oh, we feel like we know what we're supposed to be doing. We feel like we have a purpose now. And it's almost like what Rick brought up with the penalty kills, like bang on, where it's like, and I guess it was intentional by Knobloch to give them this, but like you look at those 10 guys and say like, take pride in it. Yeah, you guys are the penalty kill.
Yeah.
And I think that's really resonated.
And yeah. And I think they, you can really tell that those guys really take that shit seriously.
Well, and it's also interesting too, that they've really had a limited group on the PK. Whereas like before, just everybody out there, like everybody was getting a turn on the PK to see who could stop anything. And the answer was nobody could. Couple other things I want to mention. We were talking about the little cap stuff and our boy original Posar on Twitter. Dylan Holloway has been sent back to the AHL. And that is because he wants to play some games. He's also going to the All-Star game. Well, wants to, will be.
Oh, the American League All-Star game.
Will he? Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Will he though?
Will he actually play?
Yeah.
He should. Why wouldn't he?
I just don't think he'll play.
Play where?
Do you think they're letting him go on vacation?
I just don't think he'll play.
Oh, Rick, you tricky son of a gun.
Scoundrel.
I was thinking, like, as much as I'm sure he'd love to get in some games and it's good to keep him fresh,
I don't think he's playing.
There would be a little part of me if I was a pro athlete and all my friends were like, Cabo, Connor's like Northern Ontario to dip in cold water. You're like, hey, weirdo, what's everyone else doing? Mexico, Hawaii. And then the team was like, Bakersfield through
anyway. See, fuck. And I have a different look at it. Like, bro, you haven't established anything anywhere. Oh, go play games.
But he's not going to, apparently.
Like, I know what he's doing beside me. But as an organization, he should be playing. Like, the Condors play tomorrow.
They don't want to get caught with cap circumventions. There's like a cardboard cutout of Dylan Holloway in the locker room.
Or is he just going to walk in with like one of these on? You know what I mean? It's like, ah.
I've seen Weekend at Bernie's. This is fine. You just strap him to one of the other players. It's fine.
Dylan Holloway goes,
outside of Rick's news.
I need to see a shoulder specialist in Costa Rica. I have to go.
He's only in the, he's only on the beach.
Cruise ship that I'm going to be on for the next 2 years.
Me specifically massages on the beach. Like, it's weird. I don't know why that happened. Anyway, back to original Posar. For every day that Holloway spends down in the AHL, whether he's there or not, that's $4,500 on the Oilers cap space leading up to the deadline.
I love, okay, what's the team cap?
83.5.
We're talking about $4,500 a day.
But it all accrues, my friends.
It accrues, it does. It's hilarious. But if we weren't in such a spot, like you're dealing with 80, something that's so big, and we're looking at such a minute amount just to get us through.
The gas station up the hill gives me 4 cents off a liter, and you damn sure I'm going
go
back in. You have to go back up the hill, and you have to go back in after you pumped your gas, and I still do it because I need my 4 cents a liter.
The Grand Canyon was formed over time. It's a war of attrition. Every dollar counts. Unless you are the Chicago Blackhawks, who currently, according to Cap Friendly, have a current cap space of $22 million.
And they'll pay anyone $4 million. If yes, you've dressed will. In more than 100 yes, NHL they games, will. They just sent out a blast memo to all the agents. They're like, do you have a veteran looking for a contract? Here in Chicago, we'd love to give him a 2x4 contract.
Yeah, according to Cap Friendly.
Zach should have signed with them. He jumped too quick to skip the pond.
Yeah, shout out to Zach Cassian. I was actually surprised to see that news. Where is he? He's in Czechia.
Yeah. Can we give a shout out to Liam Reddix as well then?
yeah.
Please. You were telling me about this.
So Liam Reddix had his number 85 retired by the Vaxjo.
Oh, that's what Joel Pearson played
there. Joel Pearson's team.
The Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers. Come on. So Liam Reddix had his number retired. I think he played there for 7 or 8 seasons, never had a point per game year or better. But son of a bitch, do they ever love him out in Vaio? Vaxio.
I feel like Vaio. That last part was unnecessary. Yeah, I know. Poor Liam Reddix is taking shrapnel during his tribute.
Sitting there, he's like, wow, listen to you guys talk about me. Wait, Wait, what did you just say?
We actually looked into the ownership group.
He's just never had a point per
just before we got on the air.
Vaxo.
And actually, Mac T is part of the ownership group, so that's why.
Holy there you go. Cow.
McTavish, big fan of Liam Riddick.
The last 2 weeks, Adam Ernie, fucking useless, essentially. Easiest job in the NHL. Matthias Janmark, fuck you too.
Yeah, not even AHL. Where were you putting him?
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, you're putting him in prison.
Yep.
The poor
a decommissioned score. Prison at that.
Poor Liam Reddix. Liam Horobin, you better step it up, because if you ever get out of here, Tyler's throwing you right under the bus. He will cut your head off.
Billy Leno used to play for this team. Vax yeah. Joe.
Was he a point per game? I'm going to throw his number up there.
He played.
What was the story about Liam Reddix anyway? We didn't even get there.
Oh, his number got retired. Number,
they had everyone on the ice wearing 85 Reddix jerseys, and he's a friend of the podcast. He was on once.
Not anymore. Well,
probably not anymore, yeah.
Back when we used to get guests before we used to badmouth them.
Yeah.
Also on, what are they called?
The roster, work your way down, shit on everyone.
Vax Joe HC, Roman Horak.
Ooh.
Joel Pearson.
Patterson.
Yeah, Chris Versteeg. What could have been?
Well, we don't really. I'm not claiming Chris Versteeg.
Oh, yeah. Victor Faust.
Fast,
whatever his name is.
Yeah, we got Versteeg a lot of ghosts on that roster.
He couldn't crack our lineup.
Nope.
Victor Faust.
There was too many Chris at that time.
Was Victor Faust the one that wore the dark mask for the Ducks?
Wow,
the,
he was. Yes. He was so mask. Good.
No, that was Hiller.
Yeah, Jonas Hiller. Victor Foss, yeah, dominated this league. Would have been nice if he had done this in Edmonton. A 2.01 goals against, a 1.99, a 2.52, and a 1.79.
How about the Oilers numbers? They're probably pretty close, yeah?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, very similar. 2.73 in seven games in his first season with the Oilers.
That's when we believed.
Yeah, that was big. 9.14. You're probably thinking it got better. Yep, you're wrong. It was 3.41 goals against and an .888 save percentage. Shockingly didn't get another NHL contract after that season.
It's supposed to be a lucky number, so I can see what he's doing there.
On the bright side, we did sell probably 100 t-shirts because of Victor Fast and Ben Scrivens. Got 99 problems and a goalie ain't one. Aged beautifully. What are you laughing
at? As good as Oilers Better. Our Oilers Better shirts that came out in 2018.
That was a tough hashtag. Happens to the best of us, you know? Well,
do we have anything else? Or can I read my Team Canada roster?
No.
I'd like to hear everybody's team.
We've got Waz's signature bit coming up, Liam.
Well, we got 20 minutes left, right?
For our friends at Greta.
We have 15 minutes left.
Can you clear this up for me?
Well, I'll be quick.
Okay.
Go for it.
Do I get your approval, Tyler?
Go ahead.
We did it all on Owen Every Day.
Well, we did the Sidney Crosby thing on 3 podcasts now, but you wanted to bring that one up again.
Fucking All-Star break.
Exactly.
When is the Olympics?
Never.
What are the Olympics?
Okay. Are you ready?
Are the NHL players going to be there this time, then?
Yes, allegedly. So here's my forward group.
Okay.
Connor Bedard, Sidney Crosby, Bo Horvat.
Future Oilers, Sidney Crosby.
Zach Hyman, Travis Konecny, future Oilers as well. Nathan MacKinnon, Brad Marchand, Mitch Marner, Connor McDavid, Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Point. Who's that one? Sam Reinhart.
The next Winter Olympics is in 2026.
Where is it?
I just looked this up the other day. It's
I don't know.
Yeah, I think just, is it? And then Mark Scheifele and Stamkos.
Oh no, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
You just did them in a line. Sorry, yeah. Put them in like.
Well, I have lines. Do you want me to read you the lines I have?
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first line is Hyman, McDavid, Reinhart. My second line is Stamkos, McKinnon, Marner. My third line is Bedard, Crosby, Braden Point. My fourth line is Marchand, Ryan O'Reilly, Travis Konecny, and then my 13th, 14th forwards, Bo Horvat and Mark Scheifele.
I think you left Bedard off your graphic that you were.
No, he's the first name.
How about defense?
Defense. First pairing, Taves and Cale Makar. Second pairing, Josh Morrissey and Alex Pietrangelo. And then I have
Axe Murderer,
Uyghur and Ekblad. And then my 7 and 8 and Nurse and Bouchard.
No, Drew Doughty is criminal.
No. Screw that guy.
Who's coaching?
Knobloch.
I'm sure we can have a couple of different drafts of this by February 6th when the opening ceremonies kick off in 2026.
If they even go.
Would you like to hear my non-NHL roster?
No, what about goaltenders?
All right, we got Rene Bourque. He's back, baby.
Liam Redix. My goalies were...
You know he never had a point per game season with
backside. No, but we have to project who the players would be in 2026. We're just out of the NHL.
Yes.
So the Connor Brown's on that fucking team.
My goalies were Skinner, Jari, and Aiden Hill.
Who's starting?
Skinner. Because he's the best goalie in the NHL.
I thought it was.
It's time to bring in Waz for a signature bit. Can you clear that up for me?
I thought that entire roster was wrong.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Perfect place to spend your pre and post game, play a little vids, get yourself something to drink, have something to eat. It is delightful. Our friends at Greta would like us to tell you it is the perfect opportunity to go in there pre and post game. No games this weekend though, Dan, so you know what you do? You pop on in there, you get a card with a bunch of credit, your Mario Kart as much as your heart's content. I know my
trying to get a high score.
Got to get a new high score. Maybe you can beat Tyler in the football throwing game.
You couldn't.
Set all the high scores. Just go around the entire bar and set every high score.
That's your goal for the week, everybody. Go on out to Greta. Set high scores. You won't beat Tyler, though. So say it's Tyler. Time for Waz's signature bit, not a game. Can you clear that up for me?
First of all, I'd like to just challenge anyone to ski ball. Love ski ball at Greta. Great times.
Open challenge from Waz. Interesting.
Bring it on. Can you clear this up for me? How important is the regular season? I was listening to Jason Greger's show yesterday, and he said he gets annoyed how people will say win streaks don't matter because it's like it's not the cup, and the cup is the only thing that matters over a hockey season. Can you clear that up for me? How much does a regular season matter?
If your only enjoyment of a season is just whether or not your team wins or loses the Stanley Cup, you will live a miserable life as a sports fan.
I will say, if a 16-game heater was so easy to do, all of you other losers would be watching teams that do it. It matters. It's only happened a couple of times. The Oilers are now tied for second in terms of longest win streak in a regular season. Of course it matters.
And the journey matters as well. You should enjoy watching your team win this many hockey games.
Yeah, I think it's great, and everyone's jealous.
I like that. Well done. That was a good take.
But also, sure. Once the playoffs start, the regular season doesn't matter. We saw that last year.
Yeah, you just got to. The regular season is to get into the playoffs, and that's what matters. And not to say that the 16-game thing could very well be historic, doesn't mean anything. But if you watch the NFL at all, there's some games in the regular season. In the week 14, 13, somewhere there, you're like, oh, the team did this, that, or the other thing. That really doesn't matter because when it comes, the chips are down, those teams rise to the top. And hopefully that this is the team that does that.
To me, this heater matters because the Oilers have had two now that completely erased their early season struggles and put them back into a spot to potentially get home ice in the playoffs. Like, that's huge. And if you don't think that matters, come on, you're not paying attention. Or like Liam said, you're just jealous. You're a hater. Mm-hmm.
Next up for me is kind of related to the playoffs, but can you clear this up for me? Skinner, the big worry for him is that, you know, always playoffs. Last year, he kind of, you know, people say he got burnt out, fatigued. Why can Skinner be successful for the Oilers come playoff time? Do you think he'll be fatigued, or do you think the team will be, you know, smart enough to rest him enough before the playoffs?
That's this last stretch of hockey before the playoffs makes it ever more important. The Oilers have a lot of games in hand on other teams, so we're going to have to be platooning more. I think it's just something that the Oilers have to be aware of because it was something that crept up in the playoffs last year.
I just think like January was a really light schedule. There was no back-to-backs. There was a lot of 2 days off between games. I thought it was fine in January. It's going to be interesting down the stretch when there's more back-to-backs. You're going to have to play Pickard more. You got to make sure that Stu's rested, but ultimately, you know, they want to win games. And I think that they're probably going to live in the moment more so than trying to figure out what happens 2 months down the line until we get that X near our name. You know, I think that the goal is to win hockey games now, and we'll just see what the split looks like.
I also think like last year's the first time he's ever had to play that much hockey in his life. Like, I think it's understandable to think that the first time around it was hard and it burnt him out a little bit. And now he knows what that grind and that workload of getting to the second round of the playoffs is like and being a number one in the NHL. And he's talked about this with the media that he feels like he's more prepared. He's taking better care of his body. So I wouldn't be worried about it. It's not like if it happens two or three times and I'm like, whoa, we might have a problem. But happening once in your first playoff run, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think he was really that burnt out anyways. I think people have gone to wanted to be that thing, but you're right. He did learn lessons in his first run and he'll use them in a second. He's already seen it this year. He's improved himself over last season and no reason to expect him to do anything different in the playoffs.
Next up, you probably already touched up on this, but clear this up for me. Can the Edmonton Oilers have a deep playoff run again with Cody Ceci on his top pair? And what makes Ceci a top pairing player in your opinion right now?
Yes, they can. They just won 16 in a row, 24 out of 27 with Cody Ceci in the lineup. That's with all different types of games against all the different teams out there. It's the fact you can't win with Cody Ceci is it's just plain out wrong.
The Oilers have already gone to the Western Conference Finals with Cody Ceci playing in their top four. They could do it. I mean, like if there's an opportunity to upgrade, you probably look at it, but I'm also comfortable knowing what Cody Ceci is. It's like Tyler said earlier in the podcast, he's the devil, you know, and sometimes you trust the devil, you know.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, if there's a clear-cut upgrade up out there, sign me up. Do I think Cody Ceci is a legit top-pairing defenseman? No, but he makes $3.25 million, and he's playing above that weight class to me. So I think he's fine. They should look for an upgrade, but only if it's a real, tangible upgrade.
I guess this kind of ties into it. Clear this up for me. Then, like, the last two playoff runs, did the Oilers really get eliminated because of Cody Ceci being a top pairing guy? No, it was more so just because of the teams were better than them and they were just getting outworked. It wasn't just Cody Ceci. You can't really blame everything on one defenseman.
Yeah, like he got caved last year in the playoffs, but there were other problems that went along with it.
There's a lot of guys, their scoring disappeared in the playoffs last year. I would say that is a bigger problem that, you know, Nuge, Kane,
that was the biggest issue.
Hyman, they just didn't score at the rate that they were. So that's a much bigger issue.
The top six minus 29 and 97 did not carry their weight. And that was the biggest issue last year.
Yeah. I don't have much else to add. I just think that like, I don't know. Like what is Cody Ceci just not allowed to play on this team at all? Like what if he was the third pairing defenseman? Would that be okay? Like I just don't understand kind of the idea around it.
Oh, the idea like, is that you can't win a cup with him, you know?
That's here's another thing. Like
you can't win with Nurse either.
I don't think every team's perfect. Like every 100%. Team that wins the cup, they're not perfect. There's holes places. Probably upgrade if you can, I guess, but I just don't know if there's an Ekholm like upgrade out there. But I also didn't think Ekholm was available last year.
So that's all I got. Thanks for doing that for me.
Bye, Waz.
There goes Waz.
Bye, Waz.
Challenge Waz to skee ball at Greta.
I don't think he's that good.
I don't know that Waz is that good either. I don't remember him being all that good at skee ball, where it was notable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know what?
Bowling?
I don't think so.
No, it's pretty much the same
thing. I think that you challenge Waz to skee ball, but put some stakes on it. Make him buy you a cocktail. I think that's a challenge.
Or literally put some steaks on it and make him buy you a steak if you beat him.
Steak. They're delicious. I had a steak on Sunday night. Glass of red wine. Beautiful.
Mm. DoorDashed it?
Crushed it.
DoorDash?
I did not DoorDash that one.
Can't DoorDash a steak.
No.
Oh, you can.
You can, but you shouldn't.
You could. Yeah.
It's like DoorDashing eggs. I just don't see how that works. But you can.
Uncooked eggs, you could.
Yeah, uncooked, yeah.
Grocery eggs.
The old sunny side up, please. And by the time they get to you,
yeah, I'll just have the over easy. Just pop her in there.
Shit ain't going so hot anymore.
I want to touch on, because we're going to, there's three of us going to Toronto for the All-Star game. I'm not actually seeing any of the game. I'm there for some business stuff, and then I come home on Friday. But what are you guys expecting from going to Toronto? Liam, this is your first All-Star game. Tyler, you've done it a couple of times. What are you expecting from the weekend?
I don't know.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I am excited, but I have literally no idea what to expect from
taking your. We were just in Toronto literally hours ago.
Yeah, I was in Toronto 2 days ago. So I'm excited for another flight. I have a middle seat because I forgot to check in. That sucks.
Ooh. Amateur.
I do feel rather silly today.
I'll wave at you from my window seat up front.
I'm so frustrated. I'm like row 21 of 23.
I was in the row with you, probably the other middle seat. And I'm like, that's not going to work for
it
me.
It was brutal.
They slotted me 18A. Easy money.
Oh, brutal.
Well, I think your I'll name's wave
starting
at you
to get ahead of you now, eh?
Maybe.
They're like, wait a second. Is that your rim check guy?
I'll wave at you as you walk past the internet. Me.
I know, you're way up there.
yeah, I upgraded yesterday during Real Life Podcast.
Well done.
All-Star is always a really fun event to like actually be in attendance for. Like I like the draft, but the draft can be stale. The All-Star game, all the stars are out, or most of them, at least. All the media is there in a city like Toronto. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm excited for the weekend. It'll be really good.
The skills comp has to be the coolest thing.
Well, that's what I want to ask you guys. Like, the skills comp's different this year. What are you most excited about, even just that? I'm excited that they brought back the draft. It was so much fun before. It was kind of annoying that they got rid of it for no reason.
Yeah, what day is, they have, is everything?
Thursday's the draft.
You should know this.
Friday's the
skills. I feel like
I have no idea what's happening.
There's like a PWHL game on the Thursday night, too.
Oh, is it? But yeah. Last night, my girlfriend asked me what time I'm coming back, and I said, I have no idea. Like, I don't know.
I'll let you know when I land.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I need a ride. I think it's going to be good, though. I think the idea of this year's All-Star game, besides who's actually participating, is really
a good game.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Like, the draft is going to be fun. I like how it's four teams. That makes it a little bit different. The skills competition is unique and cool. I'm curious to see how that kind of continues on. I hope it's not just a one and done kind of thing. Like, I hope it's something that really works and can
I think it make will this work and therefore good. They will keep going with it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Let me ask you a different question. What is the greatest all-time skills competition event?
I used to love when Chara and Weber would go at it in the slap shot contest.
Yeah, that was good.
That was cool.
You should have been there for the
Al McInnes and Ally Afraidy.
Yeah.
And who?
Ally Afraidy.
Skullet.
Skullet.
Oh, okay.
He used to bang over 100 miles an hour on a fucking wood stick.
Oh, yeah. That would have been cool.
That guy
yeah.
hammered it.
That one was
imagine
cool.
What he could do with the whippy things they have now?
Unbelievable. Terrible. Dan, what's the. Dan,
and he
what's
was
the,
not like a. Chara size either.
No, he was not at all. Why don't you give him a little Google, specifically the skullet? He looked good. Look yeah. good, play good. Dan, what's the greatest all-time skills competition event?
I just enjoy the obstacle courses when they make like all the players do it from top skill right down to the bottom and they make them do all the different obstacles. So for me, it was that. I just enjoy it. And I used to do that in the video games too. You used to be able to do the old skills competition and do all the different skills there. So the obstacle course for me.
Tyler, goat event.
This is going to sound lame, but I really like the relay races they kind of do. And there was the one skills comp where they did a thing where like there were three players in three different stations and it was like a true relay where one player had to accomplish something. Then the other player had to saucer the pucks into the mini net.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the third leg. I thought that was so cool to see them like competing at the same time and the pressure that goes into like mm-hmm. having to make those saucer passes. I like that one.
Rick, what do you like?
I was always the slap shot guy. I mean, we didn't have a lot of options when we were watching as Oilers fans back in the day, but there was usually the guy there who could take a shot for you. But I do like the accuracy, the 4x4.
Yep. Well, that was going to be my pick. The accuracy one is when you see a guy just bang, 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 you just like the skill these guys have is just ridiculous.
Remember last year when McDavid went 4x4 and still lost?
Oh, yeah. And Kadri won or whatever. Yeah. Oh, no. Wasn't
and
it?
Leon's still trying to hit his fourth one, I think.
Yeah. Leon's still missing that fourth one.
What was the one that Brock Nelson won? Was it that one?
I think it was. Then Nelson beat Kadri in the final.
That was it. Yeah.
Fastest skater is always fun, but like now there's a lot of guys who can fly.
But it's not true though, because there's not enough length for them to get going. Like Connor's not going to hit his maximum speed on that ice because he can't, because by the time he needs to start slowing down, he's running out of space and you can't do it around corners. So let's find a frozen lake. Let's set up a track and let's see him go 100 meters.
Speed skating track.
Dude, dead straight. One straight line.
Just 100 meter dash.
150 let's go. Dash.
I'd like to
That's
see
what them. I want to get. Connor go. Connor 45, 50 kilometers an hour. No problem.
I'd like to see.
Dude, Vin, no, the Vinny puck. Was over 40. Vinny was over 40 kilometers. I said kilometers, not meter, not miles.
I want to see them do it with a puck. That would be a little bit more interesting to me because there's a lot of guys who just put head down, haul ass. But like, it's different with the puck.
We can do both.
I would like to see both.
And then the one with the puck, you got to dish off to a couple of passing targets.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I like that. A little give and go.
Yeah.
Hey, we're coming up new events, Tyler. Maybe when you get a chance
to write these down so you can tell them when you get there.
Maybe we need to get a chance to ask Gary a question. You'll pitch old Gary.
What was the other question you're supposed to ask him? I feel like I brought this up last week.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we had some for Gary, but I don't remember.
Oh, the Oilers schedule.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget. Okay. Yeah. Can someone write this down for him, please? I think he's going to forget.
Liam, that's your job.
Oh, Liam doesn't even know what time the flight leaves or what time he's getting back. He's definitely not remembering these questions.
I haven't figured out how I'm going to get to the airport yet.
Well, you got 12 hours figured out.
It's all good.
15 hours.
Plenty of time. Plenty
of time. What time? Are you getting there?
Let's figure this out on the pod.
All right, everybody. We got our flight tomorrow at 7. What is the scheduled time for arrival at the airport?
Because you can't be there any later than 6, right?
No, you could.
Depends. Do you want to have beer at Chili's? Or
is
do you
your
not?
Name Jay Downton? I want to have a couple.
Yeah. Are you traveling with Jay Downton or are you not?
Jay will get there about 6:30-ish.
Yeah. Like if the flight was at 7, the one time I pulled up with Jay, we were parking at 6:30. And he was like, we're good. He doesn't care.
There's times where we've traveled with Jay, Tyler and I, where he and I are very similar in how I like to get there early. I have a beer, I settle in, I relax. I'm looking, I'm like, I would normally have at least one beer in me by now. We are still at the hotel.
Oh,
Jay doesn't care.
That is tight window.
I will be getting there early and you will find me at Chili's.
Okay. I'll probably get there before 6.
Yep.
And just probably for the record, like I believe thing. 5 a.m. is opening at Chili's just for...
Something to think about.
I was there the other day at 2 a.m. and it was not open, so I can confirm.
Dan, what time should we get in the airport?
I'm always a 2 hour early guy.
Yeah, so got a casual
for
traveler.
Domestics?
Yeah, what's that for domestic? Yeah,
got a casual traveler here. It's nice you make it through.
Yeah,
no fuss, no muss.
Nope.
Anyway, security is going to be pretty easy at 5 in the morning.
On a Wednesday
early.
Yeah, usually is. We will probably, what's the plan here, boys? Are we going to record from Toronto? We're bringing stuff, are we not? Is that what we settled on?
Yeah, we will. We'll have gear, so we'll make it work.
Okay. So watch out for some on-location podcasts, some content. I don't really know what my job is in Toronto, so you're probably going to get a lot from me. Maybe I'll just haul Liam around with me and we both don't know what's going on.
I don't know what we're doing. I got a schedule today. I have to do Oilers Nation every day twice whilst we're there.
Yep.
That's all you have to do?
Allegedly. I highly doubt it. I highly doubt I'm going to have a free trip to the 6 to do my show twice, but it'd be good.
We're going to go for lunch with Pinball.
Yeah. I already booked that.
I'm surprised he's not picking you up.
Pinball?
Yeah.
He's got shit to do.
He's a busy boy.
Yep.
He's a GM of the Toronto Argonauts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Downtime.
Yep.
Yeah. Free agency does start right away. So
we're going to Moxie's.
Going to Moxie's?
That's what he told me.
Excellent.
PB.
Lastly, before we wrap up the podcast, I just want to say we've got 2 spots left on the Nation Vacation and only a handful of days to get it. Yesterday on the Real Life Podcast, Jay offered to buy pregame drinks for somebody if they bought a package, and our boy Chris Walkling settled in. Oh. He is going.
What happens if you already purchased a package? Do you still get those free drinks from Jay?
We will steal Jay's credit card.
That's fair.
Nationgear.ca, we got a couple of different packages for you. There's the flightless one if you want to get your own arrangements to get down there, or maybe you're already down in the States like our boy Chris Walkling was, or come on with us, nationgear.ca. There's only 2 spots left. Join us. It is going to be great. If you believe Frank Saravalli, that team isn't going to be there next year.
Mm-mm.
Might be your last opportunity to watch them play in a tiny little barn. Join us, nationgear.ca. And until we speak to you whenever that is on Friday.
Does Utah have a Taco Bell cantina?
Probably not. Probably not.
A lot of temples, though.
Yep. So close. A lot of
temples there.
Temples?
Close. Temples, yes. And temples.
That's how we're going to wrap up the Tuesday episode of Oilers Nation Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh.
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.